Well, I trust by now it's clear that I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love the colors. I love the atmosphere. I love the whole thing. But I also love Advent because it gets us ready for that which can only be done once a year or through this wonderful period of 12 days. This first Sunday after Christmas is a particularly special one, I think, because somehow or another, for me at any rate, all kinds of elegant scriptural imagery surrounds us, perhaps more than any other time, and to me it is glorious scriptural imagery. In that first lesson this morning from Isaiah, I read, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." And then, of course, in the gospel lesson, which for me is perhaps the most profound one we hear all year long, from John, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's oldest son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." No, this Christmas season surrounds us with beautiful, beautiful words, with images, and then certainly with our music, with sounds of pure glory. And I believe truthfully that we all lean into it like little children, moved by all the excitement, but yet perplexed a bit because the meaning of it all is so much bigger than we can really take in. Christmas. Christmas, the incredible glory of it all. Well, some Christmases ago, while driving my then very small child somewhere I don't quite remember, I was, in my usual kind of half-speaky, half-singy way, unconsciously mouthing those words from the Messiah, "Who is the King of Glory? Who is the King of Glory?" Well, from the back seat, a very self-satisfied little girl chimed in, "You are, Daddy. You are the King of Glory." And well, I quickly replied, no, Catherine, it's Jesus. She said, "Don't be silly, Daddy. Of course you are the King of Glory. Everybody knows that." Well, my subjective self, while of course being amused and flattered, continued as best I could to negate my little girl's accolade. But then my more objective self kicked in, and I privately began to reflect on what this often used word glory is really all about. And I mean, think about it for a moment. Glory, glorious, glorify, glory be, gone to glory, 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 hallelujah, glory to the newborn King. I mean, we, that is you and I, and in fact our culture, use this word and its imagery all the time. And no, not just at Christmas, though of course that's when it does seem to move us the most. Well, of course, a bit of investigation. From a standard dictionary of the English language, I understand glory as, quote, "having great praise and honor, fame and renown, radiant beauty, brightness, magnificence, and splendor." Of course, sure. But, of course, I wanted the scriptural definition. And in the Old Testament, glory is a translation of the Hebrew word kabod, which unpoetically, very unpoetically, means having weight and substance. But it is most often used, of course, to describe the physical presence of God among his chosen people. The kabod of God means that in God there is weight and substance, and there is dignity, and there is honor, and there is noble bearing, and there is a personal brightness. But it is real, and it takes up space, and it is clearly holy. Well, then, to move into the New Testament, these qualities of God were then understood very, very quickly by many to be present in the young rabbi named Jesus. And they were summed up now in the Greek translation, doxa, or D-O-X-A, meaning the glory of God made visible on earth for those who had eyes to see it. It's a long definition. So, yes, we have seen his doxa, the doxa as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. This glory word, then, is actually majorly important to we Judeo-Christians and the way we understand the presence of God in our lives at Christmas and all the rest of the year. God is there for us as having both weight and substance, not simply scriptural shadow. And no, of course, while my little daughter that day was still a bit mixed up as to her daddy's kingship, she did have the actual presence part right. That and what I, of course, would like to think was the way I personally was lighting up her life. But as for others, well, for a lonely person in a strange place, it may manifest itself with a friendly greeting or a simple smile from someone. For a tired, socially involved couple, it may mean a few moments of absolute quiet peace with just themselves after the children are in bed or the parties are finally over. And for the wanderers among us who are all over the globe these days, it might just be a safe place to rest with the almost physical promise of a better, more stable future. This glory of God, this virtual presence, may be experienced in many, many individual ways, but one thing is absolutely sure: it is real, and it can be touched and seen and heard and actually felt. It may be a hug or a kiss or a smile. It may be a sunset or a symphony or a painting. It may be in a poinsettia. It may be in the incense as it wafts itself upward. It is there, and you know it is there. Whatever and whenever it is, you do recognize it, and you know it, and you are never, ever quite the same person again. So, yes, we are all gathered here this morning, surrounded by glorious scriptural imagery. But also, I believe, more importantly, we are also here this morning surrounded by a divine sacramental presence. We have been brought together one more, dare I say, glorious time, because each one of us in our own way, some private, some not so, wants to experience and celebrate the Word who became flesh and lives among us. And each one of us, in our own way, has chosen to reach out towards one another as together we may experience the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, well, this is an ongoing gift of the Christmas season. So, yes, by all means, I believe we must rejoice and we must be glad. We must let it all go, because once again, the kabod of God is among us again as the doxa of Christ. And for that, we must say, Merry Christmas, to one another and thank you, God, one more time. Amen.